In regards to your career pathway, like how much training and law did you actually go through? Like how many years of school were you in? And like where did you go for pre-law, I guess?
So in the Air Force, I actually was able to get my associate's degree. So I went to online school through the American Military University. And a lot of that's just prerequisite courses, so like your math, science, geography, and history, and things like that. And that actually allowed me to cut off 1 year of my bachelor's degree. So I only was at Marquette University for 3 years. I started out as a first semester sophomore. And so after the 3 years of at Marquette, I went straight to law school. There was no break in between. So I started in the fall of 2013 at the University of Wisconsin, and that's a 3 year program if you go full time. You can cut it down to two and a half if you work on your studies over the summers for actual schools. For actual class, to do clinical programs over the summers. So my first summer in law school, I spent at the Wisconsin Innocence Project, where I worked on cases for members who claim to be wrongfully incarcerated. I did that for the 2 or 3 months that you're out for summer vacation. My second summer of school at law school, I used in my clinical at the prosecution project. So I did an internship at the Dane County District Attorney's Office right in Madison, Wisconsin. And that ultimately got me my first job, because after I graduated, I started the very next at the DA's office. And I guess to answer your question, 6 years is how long I actually spent at school, because again, a year of the bachelor's was taken off through my associates.
Can you describe for me the culture, like a typical day at work and those you interact with while on the job?
Sure. Well, obviously, these days it's a little bit more unique being remote. I started working remotely on the 6th of March. I think that was the first day. So I've been at this for a couple of weeks now. Even in the office, a typical day for me is showing up at around 7:30, 8 o'clock, and logging into my computer, checking to see if I have any emails. And then we do have staff meetings right in the morning to kind of set the tone for the day, to see what tasks are our priorities. And then also any long-term goals or projects we have for the week, we address them at these morning stand-ups. Throughout the day, if I don't have any cases going on, usually it's just email communication with commanders, first sergeants. Commanders are in charge of the units. The first sergeants are also in that unit, but they're primarily there to deal with the personal and professional lives of the members in the unit. They're kind of like the liaison between the enlisted side and the commander. I also, in my current role as the chief of general law, I essentially manage several other attorneys and paralegals, and making sure that the tasks that we're getting assigned through our inboxes are being properly handled and triaged. Because some tasks obviously require immediate attention and other tasks don't. So, I mean, throughout the day, I could either be in my office or on the telephone or in a commander's office, or trying to solve problems that they might be encountering.
How would you compare your current job to previously working in the Air Force? Like, is it more commitment? Do you feel like you're more involved? Like, how does that compare?
Sure. Having the perspective of being prior enlisted, I think it's a little bit different, because now I'm being an officer. I'm more on the management side of the house as opposed to the boots on the ground. Being a judge advocate in the Air Force allows me to still have involvement in the courtroom. So I am a prosecutor. So we didn't actually have that case go that we wanted to because of the COVID-19. But when I am assigned to cases, I do actually advocate in the courtroom, make oral arguments. I do direct examinations, cross examinations of witnesses, just like you would see on TV. So it really depends on what's going on throughout the week. If I don't have cases, again, I'm in the office. If I do have a case, I'm usually in trial prep, trying to review statements of the witnesses, any evidence that was presented to us. And then trying to do our best to advocate on behalf of the Air Force or a particular victim if it's a victim crime.
How did the different jobs that you've been a part of or involved in, how do they affect your work ethic, and how do they affect your view of the world around you?
So certainly being in charge of people kind of makes you feel responsible for their professional growth and development as well. So I do interact quite frequently with our paralegals and ask them, you know, if they're going to school, if they have, you know, personal issues that are going on, I certainly try to address those as well to make sure that their families are taken care of. And when it comes down to trying responsibilities and what I'm responsible for in the office, you know, a juggling act, I could say, that you have to do to make sure that you can balance. Sometimes on the work side, sometimes it's more on the personal side. It just you have to try to find that balance every day. But the work ethic that I have, I think, you know, being in the Air Force has, you know, given me a sense of purpose to, you know, see myself as part of a larger goal of, you know, defending our nation. So at the end of the day, you know, I have a responsibility not only to myself, my family, but also to you. So you are all, you know, United States citizens. So I have a responsibility to make sure that you're protected as well. So although I don't necessarily fight on the front lines, I'm certainly there in support of that goal by advising the commanders who then are in charge of the people that are doing the actual mission overseas.
Can you describe the influence of your criminology degree on how you see the world, as well as how it affects your work?
So certainly, you know, in criminal justice world or criminology, you try to understand why people do things they do. And you're never going to change, you know, the essential statistics of, you know, crime. However, you can try to understand why people commit crime. And that's kind of the social aspect of it, too. Is seeing the environment that people are growing up in, understanding some of the social or professional pressures that are on people to either, you know, want to perform well in their job. You know, if you're looking at white collar crime, for example, you know, people are motivated by money in that aspect. But if you're looking on, you know, just general crime, whether it be assaults or shootings and things like that, you try to understand what got them there. Although I don't do a whole lot of that now, in my current role, certainly it's something that's always in the back of my mind of how can we use this case to try to set a standard of or kind of deter people from trying to do this action in the future. And so when it comes time for sentencing, which, you know, most cases get there if we have our evidence and we've proven our case beyond a reasonable doubt to the panel members. If we get to sentencing, that's where I argue this case is one where we need to deter others from doing this action and also deter this person from doing it. So kind of make an argument of what kind of jail time or potential ramifications for their career, if they're going to be discharged from the military, why it's important for a particular sentence to go forward. So certainly understanding, I guess, from the criminal justice side of that certainly played into how I look at cases and try to understand, you know, what is it that makes this person tick and why are they committing these sorts of actions?
Can you describe the workers and like groups of people that you connect with within your job, like other than the paralegals and like that kind of aspect, but like within the court and stuff like that, how many people, like what groups do you interact with, I guess?
Sure. At Joint Base Andrews in Maryland, which is just outside of the D.C. area, we have right now 11 other company grade officers that are the same rank as I am that are attorneys. And we have about 7 or 8 different paralegals that work in the office as well. It's one of the larger offices in the Air Force. The only other office that I think is larger than us is Ramstein in Germany. But essentially, we are responsible for different areas, right? So I've been at Andrews for the last 3 years. And my first 2 years I spent on the military justice side. And now I'm on the general law side, where I deal primarily with civil law related issues. For example, right now, the biggest thing that we're seeing is people dealing with landlord-tenant issues or potentially taxes, or obviously when people are out of their jobs, trying to deal with financial issues and how they can navigate, whether it be with credit card companies or finance companies and things like that. So a lot of it really depends on, you know, what section that you are in an office. But our daily interactions are pretty cordial, which I think is unique for a law firm, if you can I kind of equate it to that, in that we're not competitive with one another. We're competitive with other offices. So we always seem to get along really well with one another. We rely on each other for resource and assistance when we need it. We usually have in the office a case at a time, so it's always a a back and forth on different trial strategies that might be effective. And then working with our paralegals, obviously they're an important part of our team. We don't just see them as administrators or paper pushers. We see them actually as an important part of the team to give us a different perspective on the case, and then also gather the evidence and make it so that our jobs are easier when we do step foot in a courtroom to be able to put on an effective case.